Good morning, everyone. How are y'all doing? Wow. How about we turn to 291 and let's stand. 291, please. I'm pressing on. Oh, that's fantastic. Still praying as I onward bow, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. To live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled, for faith has caught joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's table land. Higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the beautiful day. The opportunity, Lord, to come to your house today. Thank you for our church, Lord. We're going to celebrate 60 years, Lord, of existence. Lord, this is your work. Lord, there have been many, many people come to our church. Many, many people have gone. Some have died, Lord, and gone on to be with you. Others, Lord, have decided to go somewhere else. Lord, we thank you for those that are still here today, still making this work in this area. Thank you, Lord, for your commitment to our church and us to you, Lord. Lord, sometimes I think we're all weak about what we're doing here, but Lord, it's your way, it's your church, and you're going to do it the way that you want it done. But Lord, give us the heart and desire to keep this church going. Thank you for it, Lord. It means so much to me and everybody else here, Lord, that we have a church here. We have a pastor that wants to preach the truth, Lord, of your word. Today, Lord, he is going to preach. Guide him, Lord, direct him, and make him strong, Lord, for what you have for us today. I pray, Lord, later, if you grant it, we're going to have a time of fellowship with food and a bit of cake, Lord. Just being with those, Lord, that help see this church through to what it is today. Thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's see, our call to worship, we got some help coming up here, I think. Is that right? Where'd we all go? Behold our God. We got someone that's going to help.
Yes.
Okay. I'll give him a minute. Bear with us.
Good morning. Sorry about that. Got a little tied up there. Okay. God bless everybody. Good to see everyone. Behold our God. The autumn is going to be playing here, and we're skipping the bridge today, and we're going to try to work on that next time. Praise God.
held the oceans in his hands, who has numbered every grain of sand. Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice. Behold, adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him. Counsel to the Lord, who can question deeds. Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore. Bearing all the guilt of sinful man, God eternal, humble to the grave, Jesus Savior, risen now to reign. Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Thanks, Jason, Autumn. Thanks for bearing witness to that. Kind of new song, but a good one. We'll work on it, I'm sure. Let's see. Announcements. Here we go. Evening service tonight at 6. Message of severity of sin. If you don't understand it, come out and we'll show you. Fellowship today. We're going to do cake after we eat a bit of a meal for our 60th anniversary here at church. Our next fellowship is in July. The kitchen team then is Sandra, Marilyn, and Howard. Personal evangelism, May 2nd and 16th and the 30th. Women's Bible study, May 9th and 23rd. Wilton Bible studies, May 4th and 18th. The deacon trustee meeting next month, May 11th, which is coming right up. Iron sharpens iron on the 6th and the 20th. And the L&M, if I can pronounce this, baccalaureate, May 10th. Services this week are as follow: Wednesday prayer and Bible study at 7, Sunday school 9:30, worship 10:40, and of course our evening service at 6 o'clock. Thought for the week from our pastor: it was needful for me to write unto you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. Ha! Guys, we'll come forward and we'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, so much we have to be thankful for, Lord. Lord, help us to remember you always and never take you for granted. You don't take us for granted, Lord. You love us and you want to see us through. Help us, Lord, to remember it always. We have a chance now, Lord, to give a small portion back to you, Lord. I just ask you be with the gift and the giver and be with our service to follow. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you, ladies. Judy and Kathy's going to play for us now.
Soon cut off and we fly away.
Great confidence that we have that when our time is over and the Lord called us as believers, we indeed can be immediately in His presence. The Bible actually does say that angels bear our souls to heaven, and so we literally will fly away on wings and be in the presence of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, awaiting a new body. Yes, Jason. Oh, I'm not turned on yet. Sorry about that. We can remedy that. We had it on once. There, is that better? Okay. Some of you probably don't want to hear what I've got to say anyway. So, anyway, it's a pleasure to be with you today. Again, as I like to often say, this is dress rehearsal for heaven. And we'll be in the presence of Jesus Christ one day if you're a believer here this morning. And so, again, this is a good time to praise Him and gather in His precious church, the Lord Jesus' precious church, the gathering of the saints. And to give Him glory and to exercise the gifts that He's given us as we serve Him and as we accomplish what He has intended for the church to be. And that is a body of truth speakers in love, fulfilling the Great Commission. And so we're excited about that today. I want to welcome everyone today, especially if you're visiting with us. We're always glad for everyone that comes through the doors here every time that we gather. This is kind of a special day, not that it isn't anyway, because on the first day of the week as we gather to celebrate the living Savior, the resurrected Savior, it is a day that we're going to set aside for just a little special observance. Once again, that Fruitland Baptist Church on May 13th will be 60 years as an organized work. I looked up May 13th, 1960. It was a Monday. And so I don't know what the significance was of that day, But you've noticed today that on the back table there's quite a bit of history displayed, and some also up here on the screen, and I know that we can play that again later. Some of you may want to reminisce in that. But before we go any further today, and as I pray later, we will thank God for this work. And I think we have at least three charter members that were around when all this began. Maybe I'm incorrect on that, but I'd like to ask if they would want to come up and just speak a few words, share a few words about how it was. I wasn't here for Pastor Hubbard, but I was here for the other ones, including myself. And Laverne Hubbard served this church as founding pastor, as it was started as a church plant. Maybe some of these folks that have been around here the whole way could share just briefly about that this morning. Phil Sherwood was the successor to Pastor Hubbard after God called him home. And then Jim Boffman was here for, I believe, a year and a half or so. I was not here at that time. And then they ended up with me. So Zelpha, Patsy, Sharon, am I missing anyone this morning? Won't you come and just say a few words today? Right here's the mic. I'm going to come down and listen myself. Doesn't bother me, Autumn. Yeah. I think we ought to let them scroll at least after we eat here so people can look. Yeah, sure.
There you go. Well, this really ages me. But the beginning of our church was been a long time ago, and lots of things happened. And when I was watching those pictures, I could see my dear husband. Yep. Working on the buildings day and night. After you get home from work, he would work on the church and all day Saturdays. He loved the church, and I loved him. Pastor Hubbard was our first pastor. He was in seminary when he started our church. Actually, he didn't start it. It was Walnut Park that had part of it, and then Christian Missionary Alliance was the one that started the work down there. And then Pastor Hubbard was not interested in such a small church. He didn't really want that. But God changed him, and he jumped right into it, and the work just really prospered. We had lots of young people, and when we were in the block or the sweet potato shed, it was a really cold building. We had a potbelly stove for our heat. And I wrote a history of our church that some of you may have read, where we had electric wires in the concrete to heat the concrete floor. Mm-hmm. However, it never got turned on quick enough for it to warm. So it was a very cold building. We bundled up, but the little church was full of people.
Praise God.
And then as it grew, we had to look for another building. But before that, we had one of our neighbors down there. She was she hated the church, and she did everything she could to destroy it. She just harassed us and harassed the pastor. It was awful. It was really awful what she did. But you know what? God took her out. She was killed instantly at a stop sign that going into Fruitland. And wasn't anything going to stop the growth of the church, because it was God's church.
Amen.
And he proved that to us over and over again. We had a lot of women that had lots of babies, because we were all young people. Our pastor was young. His wife was young, and there was about seven ladies going to have a baby about the same time. So we grew two ways, you know, inviting people and increasing our population. So it's been quite a journey, but the Lord's been good to us. Lots of people have been saved. Lots of sad things have happened in our church, lots of deaths, but lots of wonderful things, weddings and births and salvation, of course, of souls. We've seen a lot of people be saved here. A lot of people left our church for different reasons, yeah. But they were all part of the history. So thank you. I'm glad you're here, and we're still going.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Zelpha. Patsy, you got to say it. No words? Okay. Sharon, you got to at least have a word. Well, I'm going to talk about that a little this morning, the message. But, Zelpha, I hope you don't mind if I share this. Pastor Hubbard was a graduate of Johnson City, New York, Baptist Bible College and Seminary, a very good school in those days. Its derivative today is Clark Summit University, and I'm having a senior moment. By the way, I'm the oldest pastor this church has ever had. Yes, Brenda, it's true. Pastor Hubbard was called home at 56. He was a hemophiliac. And, you know, he was another local guy here. I'm going to get emotional about all this today. But, yeah, you know, so I'm old. And the other two pastors were much younger, again, when they were here as well. But anyway, yeah, Clark Summit, Pennsylvania is where that's at. It is not as theologically sound. Pastor Hubbard would be sad about the way those kind of things have gone today in general. But anyway, but let's rejoice, right? Because we're still here, we're still alive, and we're going to talk about that in our message today. Thank you, Zelpha. Any other things you'd want to say? But I agree with you, there's been a lot of people come through this church, and a lot of people saved. And let me tell you, if there's people that have gone, the doors are still open to come back. I'll never be able to explain all that. It's the Lord's church. That's all I can say, and it will be as he sees fit and how people operate with it. Anyway, we need to go to prayer here this morning and look at the Church of Laodicea. By the way, this was by no accident this happened, because I thought this message would be long gone about recovery for injured and unhealthy churches. But so happens today is the Church of Laodicea. That's how it fell, and I think it was very appropriate as we look at this. By the way, you are invited to stay for lunch, whether you brought anything or not. I guarantee there will be plenty out there. I had an advance preview of some of Kim's as it spilled. But please stay with us and have a slice of cake and just stay and have a little fellowship today. We haven't made this a big deal, but it is a big deal. Fruitland's been here for a long time, more than a half a century, and that's a big deal. And we trust that it'll be here till the Lord returns. And that's our hope and desire, and I believe it is his as well. So shall we go to prayer, and then we'll look into our message for today. Our Father, we thank you today and want to give you praise and thanksgiving for who you are, the great I am. You don't need to explain yourself, Lord. You've already displayed yourself to humanity and your work. And Lord, woe unto those that deny who you are. But yet today, Lord, if there be one in this auditorium who has denied you yet, we pray today, Lord, they would bow the knee. Because your scripture says, one way or another, we're going to bow the knee to you, because you're King of kings and Lord of lords. And that's the truth. And Lord, I pray today that people will discover the truth, that the Spirit will direct them in that path, and that they'll be set free, because when we're set free by you, Lord, we're free indeed. We are no longer shackled by the authority and power of sin, but we're freed through the life-giving resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for all that are here today. We thank you for the 60 official years Fruitland's had, but also for the plant that was started here, Walnut Street and Christian Missionary Alliance, as Zelpha said. And Lord, there's plenty of opportunities to plant again, new seedlings of growth. And we look forward to those possibilities today. But we thank you that you've not only preserved Fruitland, but that you have allowed it to continue to be a truth-speaking church in a day when that is a rare commodity. Now, Lord, we know in our number today we have some that are missing due to illness. Some may be discouraged, Lord. Others may even be angry. Maybe there's real rifts, Lord, in people's lives. And that does happen. But we know this, that we need to get to the doctor about those things. You, Jesus, the great physician. You're the medicine that can cure all the ailments if we'll leave it in your hands. Thankfully, Lord, you told your apostle Peter to tell people to cast their cares upon you because you care for us, and I take that to heart today. Now, Lord, we're going to look at the Church of Laodicea briefly today. And, Lord, we've been studying here for 2 weeks the symptoms of an injured and an unhealthy church, Lord. And quite frankly, as you sent the Apostle John with these letters that unveiled your awesomeness again, Lord, that you're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, you're everything. And you gave your evaluation of those seven churches there in Turkey, modern-day Turkey. And Lord, there were a couple of them that you had no condemnation for, but you still gave them warnings to listen and to hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Others you condemned, but you also told them how to be recovered, that their candlestick would not be snuffed out. So today, Lord, we look at the last church in there, Laodicea. And I'm afraid, Lord, that there's a lot of things there that come very close to where we're at today. But, Lord, you're still in control, and our candle has not been snuffed out. And I pray, Lord, it will not be snuffed out, just like Philadelphia and Smyrna, till we're done. Anyway, Lord, I pray you'll help me to preach this morning. And I give you thanks, Lord, for this opportunity I've had all these years down here at Fruitland Baptist. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, folks, today, if you'll turn in your Bibles or on your devices, I had just a few things to say, but we are going to focus around the church at Laodicea. And I assume, if you're like me, and as I studied this and put it together and have thought about this many, many times, and there's several ways that this can be taken, I still believe that there are multiple ways that are accurate as to how we digest these seven churches in Revelation. I personally believe that they were individual churches with these certain specific scenarios within them, but I also believe it pictures accurately the church age. And so I believe this, that we are in that day of the latter part of the church age. I did just want to make a few comments here regarding Fruitland. And yes, Kim and I came down here in 1993, and this gentleman right over here is the one that invited me, Woodrow Meyer. And we came here, and God did a work. I'm going to get emotional today a little bit, but that's okay. But when we left Calvary uptown, I was kind of, I wasn't depressed, but I was disgusted. And I wasn't angry with God, but I said, I'll keep serving you, Lord, but I've had enough of the politics, the stuff that goes on. See, I was still young then, relatively, late 30s at that time. But, you know, I said, I just got to go down to Fruitland. I just want to be fed. I'm not going to give up on your church, but I'm not going to get involved in anything that's important anymore. Well, right where Craig Hackett's at this morning, that's where God got a hold of me. So, Craig, you might want to... And Pastor Westbrook, he was a mentor to me, and there's a whole story about that, too. I was there when he was called home, and I've never gotten over that. You can talk to me later about that. But he went back at 40. God called him at 40 to go to the mission field, and he went back to school. And I was 40 years old in that seat back there. Anyway, now I'm kind of forgetting what I was going to say. But sometimes I've wondered about what I was all brought here about. We haven't seen dynamic growth. I mean, we're not in a building project, obviously. We've seen a fairly peaceful period, but with some hiccups. And I'm not done yet, I'm not telling you that, but there will be a day when that may happen. Either God calls me out or time moves on. But what I see right now is that I was brought here as a bridge for these 20 years, at least so far, because I believe Fruitland Baptist Church, like many churches similar to it, is in a period of time that's like a bridge to see if we're going to make it across the Great Divide. Let me tell you why, and I'll get to preaching here in just a minute. But you know, the late 50s, the 60s, and the 70s were the days when the churches built and grew. Most of the buildings here in Muscatine or in any given area, that's when they were built, when they started. It was a different day, folks. And I preached on the Philadelphian church last week and the one before that, Sardis. But I really think what Fruitland is a product of in those days is the end times of the Philadelphian church. It was the church that had zeal. It was the church that had a missionary fervor. It affected the community because people had their hearts opened by God, and it worked. And plus, a new church like Fruitland that was planted, new churches go really well. But when they get some baggage, that's when things change. Doesn't have to be, but that's how it works in many cases. But anyway, you know, Fruitland's facing that in a sense, but not really as bad as some churches. But the 50s, 60s, and 70s, late 50s, 60s, and 70s were the building days. The 2010s and the 2020s are the dying days. That generation, Zelpha, Patsy, Sharon, and others of that era saw this all take place. And we're not dead or anything. I'm not even saying that, but I'm saying in general, that generation in its elderly years is seeing it decline. Praise God, we're not dead here at Fruitland. But the point that I want to make is that we are what? We are susceptible to that if we allow that kind of thing to happen. And quite frankly, I don't know how you wake the dead. I'm not talking here about Fruitland, but the community and the people around. People just do not want to be involved with the Lord. And we talked about that in Sunday school this morning. But that doesn't mean they won't, and it doesn't mean that this church isn't here for a purpose, because it is here for a purpose. I had someone yesterday tell me they couldn't believe all the cars that were out here on Resurrection Day. I said, yeah. I said, we still are not dead. Praise God. So I'm not negative on that. But I think we need to be warned, though, that, you know, we'll see what happens. Now, I don't know if what I said about myself is true, because there will come a day that you'll have new blood in here. And we'll see what's in store. But, folks, the church is a big, different place than it was 60 years ago. Because our culture is a different place. But sin has not changed. Salvation has not changed. And Jesus has not changed. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, ever. Hebrews 13:8. So how we operate in the future, well, that's going to be largely determined, as this is a congregationally governed church, by how you and I operate individually in the future. But it's always been my goal here at Fruitland, through good or bad, that we be a Bible-centric church. In other words, we're not here to share stories or fables. We're here to preach the Word of God. And with that, you know, you can always argue with me about things, and you don't even have to like me. By the way, I wasn't sent here to be liked. I was sent here to be loved, like I need to love you. But I was sent here to be a Bible teacher, and that's what I need to do. And for bad or good, that's what I'm going to do, because then it becomes debatable. It becomes objective or subjective. If we stick with the Bible, it is objective truth. You don't always have to agree with me, but if you don't get mad. This is a place that we think about things and learn. And we don't have to agree about every jot and tittle. But it isn't something that we should shut down to try to make everyone happy. We have to preach the Word and let it stand. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. And He'll guide you in all truth. That's what Jesus said. So with that said, did I pray? And that's another thing, I'm starting to forget things. Thank you, Kay. All these years, you've kept me in line here with many things. And where is, oh, there's Mrs. Brown. She usually is right there too. Anyway, in your Bibles this morning, the church at Laodicea, someone texted me this week, Pastor, where do you think we're at in the church today? That person's here, but I won't reveal that person. And I said, Laodicea. And I have no doubt that that's the case. Does someone need a hand back there at the door? I see Rose. Is she able to get in all right? Okay. Anyway, I see Laodicea, in my observation at least, as being indeed the church that we are nominally around today. Can we still be Philadelphian? You heard it from me last week. Absolutely. We can see that zeal restored. We can become very proactive. But again, it's going to take a work of the Spirit and revival to come back to that vision of the Lord's church. We may have a better potential to be more like Smyrna, which was the church that was heavily persecuted. I believe that's coming for the church. It's here already. And we better be ready. We may need each other. We may need each other's homes. We may need each other's support, because, you know, it could get very rough. And we need to think these things through. I agree with you, Brother Dave. Yep. Anyway, the church at Laodicea. By the way, as you go through this, I just want to point out a couple things. Notice that none of these churches were beyond fixing that were broken. None of them. Because Jesus had not yet snuffed out their candle. The church at Laodicea is not beyond recovery. It doesn't have to stay in the mode that it's in. This morning, we find the writing here that Jesus gave to John, and he recorded, starting in verse 14 of Revelation chapter 3. Oh, I forgot. Was there a significance why the founding day here at Fruitland was on a Monday? Zelpha, Patsy, Sharon, you remember any of that? May 13th was a Monday. I looked it up. I don't know. We'll maybe never know. But that was the date of the calendar that it was officially recognized as an organized group of believers. Anyway, here it is. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Jesus told us in chapter 2, told John, and through him us, he is the Alpha and Omega. He's the whole thing. He's the beginning and the end. God is like a line. If you study about a line is never beginning, has no beginning, and it has no ending. And that's Jesus. He's God. Jesus was not created. Now, where it says here, the beginning of the creation of God, Jesus was the beginning because he spoke the creation into being. And you can go back in the first part of Genesis. But Jesus had no beginning and he had no end. He's always existed because he is God. If you can wrap your heads around that thing, and people in general could, it'll answer a lot of the questions that you have. But this is not about us, it's about him. He is manifesting himself through his Son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to people who he loves dearly. People who he wants to have fellowship with. God did not create robots when he created humanity. We are not programmed. We are beings that were granted free will to either accept him or reject him. I pray today that when we get our heads wrapped around the Lord, we'll always accept him and come to understand as we mature in our walk with him that he indeed is the way, the truth, and the life, and he is the only way that people can be reunited in fellowship with God the Father. It's through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. When you get that to be the center of your life, things will be different. This other stuff is not as important. It's about him. Anyway, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. Okay? Again, that's brought about in many of these situations with the churches. By the way, God recognizes works for what they are. But the works that God wants to see us do are the works after people have been born again in Jesus Christ, that are Holy Spirit heart driven to the glory of God. Not about man. It's about him. Jesus knows what's going on in this church and in every other church. By the way, he has not departed from us. I hope that he and pray that he is still the center of this church and that he's inside it. But if we are a Laodicean church, we have to understand that Jesus is no longer the center of the church. He's outside. That's what he tells us here through the Apostle John. And you remember that was the case with the very first church that we spoke on here the other day, or a few weeks ago. And I'm having a mental block, the church at Ephesus. Remember, they lost their first love. And I think that that is always a possibility with all churches, that Jesus becomes a byproduct of the churning of the church. He is the center of the church. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. Now, I don't know, you know that I'm about you, but you know that I'm usually a one cup of coffee a day person. And it's decaf instant. Any of you want to come and join me? And Kim usually puts it in the microwave for me, and she's gone already, but you know, I'm capable of doing that, but she does that most mornings, not just Sunday. And usually when I touch that to my lips, to begin with, what happens? Wow! So I set it down, and we go through the motions and do the things we, devotions or praying together, things that, and by the time I pick it up again, it's what? Lukewarm or worse. And I say to Kim, I'm going to have to put this back into the nuke machine, the microwave, and warm this up. Because you know what? Lukewarm coffee is not good. Too hot is not good. Neither is cold. But what Jesus really wants is he wants the church to be at the right temperature. I was talking to someone this week. My temperature over the years has declined. My normal temperature is a 97.7, maybe 97.4. Now, most of you already know that I'm somewhat abnormal. What's it supposed to be? 98.6. You know, God designed our bodies to operate at a nominal temperature that resists the bugs. And that's just exactly right. And I don't know why mine is low. They tell me don't worry. I don't worry about it. Carrie, maybe you have some advice on it, or Diane. I don't know. But anyway, it's got to be just right. And that's the temperature. A church that overheats is not going to be good. Neither is a church that's ice cold. It's got to be at God's temperature. And how that temperature is determined is from His Word. All we have to do is do the things He said with the right heart, and it'll be fine. It has to operate at the correct temperature. But in this case, God's saying this, Jesus is saying this, I wish that you were either one or the other. Because then I could deal with it. But when it's lukewarm, it's not really totally cold, but not totally hot. And like me with the coffee, when it gets lukewarm, especially when it's instant, it made God sick. It makes Jesus sick when a church is in that mode. He says that in verse 16, so then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That word spew in the Greek, same word as vomit. So I can legitimately say a lukewarm church makes God sick. So then because thou art lukewarm, he says, I will spew you out. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You know, today we live in a day of affluence. Even people that are poor today are affluent. I could go into talking about that at length, why that is today. But because people are so concentrated in their thinking about me and about things and stuff and the things of the world, how could any of us deny today that that's really I ask you bluntly, was your focus today and every day Jesus, or was it other things? And I've got to tell you, Satan's got us in such a trap that most of us, for our very existence, we think, have to deal with the things of the world. I talked to a person recently. I gave a little biblical advice, and the person's response to move closer to the Lord was, I'd lose all my benefits and different things. Stuff! But the problem is, folks, when we have placed our faith in those kind of riches, we are spiritually bankrupt. And that is the condition that Jesus said the church at Laodicea was in. You've got all the trappings. No one's hurting for anything, really, that they need. But the focus of that church has departed, and the truth of the matter is that the people don't even realize how wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked they are. By the way, Laodicea, it's interesting to note when we talk about blindness. Does anyone know? Laodicea was a center for what we call ophthalmology today. Eye care. Isn't it interesting that they were a church who was blind? Folks, we need to get our myopia cured and see Jesus for who he is and see things for what they are. But Jesus tells it very plainly, we're wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. You know, it's a fact, folks, and I'm not here to condemn anyone, but I'm just here to raise this fact. Christians are some of the people that struggle with the effects of these things and have turned to the ways of the world to cure them. But the good doctor Jesus is the one that can give you excitement. He can give you enthusiasm. He can give you joy that abounds if you'll go to him and take his medicine and let the stuff that man offers alone. Anyway, so here's what Jesus tells the church of Laodicea. He says, I counsel thee. Notice he doesn't say, I force thee. I demand thee. He says, I'm going to give you some good advice. By the way, the advice of God is the best advice you'll ever get. And let me just say this, it's free. I've told people many times over the years, they said, I need some good advice. And I would tell them, well, it's all free from me. So you're going to get what you pay for. But Jesus is telling them here, he says, you need to buy something. I think today, folks, what would accurately describe most of the church today is that they don't want to put anything out for anything that's going to cost them. But when you're going to buy the things of the Lord, there's going to be cost. And here's what Jesus said, I counsel thee to buy of me, buying from Jesus, gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. I want to remind us there is a cost to serve and walk with God. And our walk with God is a process of refining. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 3:12-13, please. 1 Corinthians 3:12-13. I'll get there eventually. First Corinthians 3:12-13. Here Paul is talking to the church at Corinth. And he's talking just prior to this about the foundation of the church, who is Jesus. And he is basically saying, a man cannot lay that foundation. It is the work of God through his son, Jesus Christ. That's the foundation of the church. And then he talks about building on that foundation. And he says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, meaning again that the foundation of gold, silver, and precious stones will withstand the trial by fire. I've had this talk with a lot of people over the years. Pastor, it's hard. I've had conflict with other people. And you know what? And all kinds of problems about the church. You know what I tell them? When you serve Jesus Christ, you step into the shooting gallery. You're in the fire. You're going to be tested to see what you're made of. And folks, that's how you'll become gold, silver, or precious stones. And like Jesus said, buy some gold. Get into my calling. Do it my way. You will come out as gold. You'll come forth as gold. But if the stuff that you want to do is going to be wood, hay, and stubble, let me tell you, it's going to burn. That's the fluff. It's the stuff that does not stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe this with all my heart. In general, the modern-day churches, the Laodicean churches. By the way, Zelpha, what did you say? Potbelly stove down at the potato shed, right? Did people complain about the heat or the cold? No. You know what? I don't complain about that stuff either. I told you a story about my Grandpa Brown out at Peace Church. They complained because they lived right across the road. He built the fire and the stove there in the middle of that church building out there. Some of the people left over that because they thought it was either too hot or too cold, and they didn't like the fact that Harry Brown didn't have it like they wanted it. So he quit going to church. By the way, isn't that the way it goes with a lot of this stuff? When we're walking with the Lord, little things like that don't matter. It doesn't matter if the air conditioning set at 72 or 68. Folks, we're so spoiled today. It's a problem. Every man's work will be tried. If you're here this morning as a believer, it's going to be one or the other. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward at the judgment seat of Christ, at the Bema seat. Folks, you know, I'm not big on awards and things like that. I've told certain people, they said, this is not due. I said, don't worry about that. I'm waiting for a different reward when it's all done, if it's to be. But folks, that's what we need to be thinking about. It's not about what goes on here in that sense about rewards. It's what's to come. And Jesus is trying to direct the people at Laodicea to buy some gold that will withstand the fire. Get into the fire. That's what it's going to take. You want to see Fruitland grow to be a major church? And it may not, because it may not be God's will. It may be His will that we are a remnant of people that stand for Jesus. And if that's the case, so be it. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't want to get yourself in the fire for Jesus, there's going to be limited rewards that come from it. Anyway, that thou mayest be what? Rich. And white raiment. White raiment means people need to make a change of clothes. How many of you have ever seen me out when I'm in my farming attire? I've had, Marlon, you, Doug, I've had some, we didn't recognize you. Well, you don't look like a pastor. I saw a guy in Maynard's the other day, said, I'm a pastor. He had a tie-dyed shirt, shorts. As much as to say, do you really think I fit the category? Well, I've had some of that with me too. But you know what? I'm not talking about our humanistically governed apparel. I'm talking about Jesus says we need to change our clothes. You get what he's saying there? We got to throw off the filth, and we need to put on the white garments that are given by Him. Get cleaned up. And folks, the modern day church, the Laodicean church, is borderline pathetic because of its sin. Come back tonight and hear about the severity of sin. By the way, Jude 3 is the reference. That wasn't my words, that was Jude 3, to earnestly contend for the faith. That's what it's going to have to come back to. If you want to see a Philadelphian church where Jesus has no condemnation, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. I'll come back to that in just a minute. But you know what, folks? The church today is naked because it's not clothed in the humility of Jesus Christ. We need to be clothed in His white raiment, in His humility. But then he says, anoint your eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Of course, Laodicea, as I mentioned, was the area headquarters in that day for eye care. But he says, it's interesting, you haven't taken the salve. By the way, what's the salve here he's talking about? It's the Holy Spirit. Has the Holy Spirit applied salve to our eyes that we can see? That's how we're able to get our vision back, when we stop quenching the Holy Spirit and do what He says and do it with joy. Well, we got to wrap this up. Jesus says here in verse 19, as many as I love, do you believe Jesus still loves us today? I believe He does. As many as I love, I rebuke. You know what rebuke is? A sharp criticism. If we are willing to listen to Jesus' sharp criticism and respond to it appropriately, but by the way, folks, most people, when criticism is leveled, they respond negatively. They want to fight against it. But let me tell you, there is a place for a rebuke today in the church. And it's warranted. And it should come from a pastor in love. But it indirectly comes from the Lord. In other words, we need to be criticized where we're lax. But we also need to be encouraged where we're right. But notice what he says. Rebuke's just one of the words. He then says, and chasten. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Chasten means to be punished or to be disciplined. Discipline in the Greek is the word orthos. It means to set a broken bone straight. Are we listening to Jesus? And then he says, be zealous, therefore, and we heard this with all the churches that were in the wrong, that were injured or that had been hurt. He says, repent. That's how these things will be affected. It's when our hearts are convicted through rebuke and chastening, and we say, I'm going to change with the help of the Lord. And we turn around and we start doing it a different way. You know, Zelpha, Patsy, Sharon. And we know a lot of water has flown under the bridge. But you know, I doubt that Pastor Hubbard would even recognize the modern day church. There's no question he was a man of the Word of God. And he had that reputation in town. But I'll tell you what, folks. It's like the old cigarette commercial for Terryton Cigarettes. Anyone remember that tagline? We've come a long way, baby. There's a lot of difference in 60 or 65 years. And some of us that have been around a while know what's happened. Well, here's the hope, though. Jesus is outside the modern-day Laodicean church. But here he tells us in 3:20, many people have misinterpreted this verse. It's okay, I guess. They're saying Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. Well, yeah, okay, but that's not what's meant here. He's knocking at the door of the church, the corporate gathering of the believers. He says, behold. What's it mean in the King James? Behold means what? Look. Pay attention. I'm at the door. I stand at the door and knock. If any man, notice that's in the singular sense here, it only takes one person to open the door to Jesus in the church. And he'll come back in. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Jesus will have fellowship once again, one by one, with those that repent and open the door back up to the church. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. I believe this, overcometh means this. It's one who has cemented solidly their following and their walk with Jesus Christ, and has said, I've renounced the things of the world. I've renounced sin, even though I still struggle with it. But Lord, I am fully committed to you. I am an overcomer because you have made me a victor over sin and its power. A church will have the similar thing when the sum of the parts becomes the sum of the whole. And we say, we've had enough of this extracurricular stuff. We're going to go and do it Jesus' way. And notice what Jesus said, to him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. By the way, where did Jesus overcome? He overcame at the cross and in the resurrection. There's no tomb with Jesus' body in it today. He defeated this garbage that Satan brought into this world. And am set down with my Father in his throne. The message that Jesus is giving to us today is, if you've had victory declared in Jesus Christ in your life, hang in there. I've told these different folks over the years when they said, it's hard and it's rough and things shouldn't be the way they are. And I said, that's right, but you're in the shooting gallery. You're a sitting duck in many cases, but hang in there. Because it's Jesus that stops those shots from hitting you or deflects the damage that they're going to do to you. And you can overcome in Jesus Christ, even in the Laodicean era of the church. Well, here's the last verse, and I could have said a lot more today, but time's about up, and I'm beginning to smell food. He that hath an ear. Jesus said this to all seven of the churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are we listening today? He'll give us the answers. Well, quickly, here's the condemnations about Laodicea. You heard most of them. Nonchalant about their faith. Take it or leave it. If the shoe fits, wear it. I believe some of these things I've seen are in my life, in all these churches we studied. Are we lukewarm, making God sick? Are we wealthy not in physical need, but spiritually destitute? Is Jesus on the outside trying to get in? And are we in danger of our candle being snuffed out? Answer that how you see it. But his commendation and corrective action for Laodicea was listen and repent and be zealous. Seek after the gold of God tried by fire, accept rebuke and chastening and change. And cover our shame, get cleaned up with white raiment. If you're here today apart from Jesus, it's the day to be brought under the cleansing fountain of the blood of the Lamb, who is Jesus, who can make you whiter than snow. And let Jesus back in as the center and open the door and overcome sin as who we are, victors in Jesus Christ. Then you'll see change. Here's the end of it. Well, this is basically what I've brought to you every week. But well, as you hear and see, Fruitland and most churches have many traits of injuries and unhealthiness. And like I've said, and we've seen some response here at the front of this church the last several weeks, but the front of this church ought to be full again today. Yes, we're 2 weeks ahead in celebrating the 60th anniversary, but you know, he who hath begun a good work in you shall complete it. That's where I see Fruitland. It's a work in progress that Jesus will complete if we stay faithful to him. And if we don't, candles out. It may continue, but it won't be the right thing. It has to be centered in him. Don't say, though, from these messages that you haven't been warned and don't know how to regain health and to see injuries healed, because we have. And I still believe that God can and will fix things. And I ask you today if you believe that, but also who is on board for the next 60 years should the Lord tarry. And I know we're all set up, and I agree with this. I think we're in the late days. But you know what? The Lord may not have that in mind just yet. It may get later. So let's not pack up the songbooks and give up before it's time. That's all I've got to say today. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand. Number 204. Stand if you're able today. You know, Jesus is going to return one of these days, and we're all going to face, for the Christian, the believer, we're going to face the judgment seat of Christ about what we learned about there in 1 Corinthians 3. What have you done for Jesus? Will there be any crowns, any rewards for what you've done? I believe that we're going to be held accountable. It doesn't stop us from going to heaven, but Jesus is going to say, he's going to look us lovingly in the eyes and say, John, I love you, but you could have done better. You failed. But maybe in one or two areas you did the right thing. What's that going to be like? We learned, you know, at the first part of this message several weeks ago, what it was like to get Jesus' attention. I believe he'll have your attention and mine at the judgment seat of Christ. But if you end up at the great white throne and that's your own fault, don't you dare blame Jesus. Because his blood is there today to place, have your sins placed under. You can be forgiven, you can be saved, you can be rescued by Jesus. But if you end up at the great white throne, it's going to also be quite a thing when Jesus reviews all the good things you did, but you forgot one major thing, Him, because it was about you. Today's a good day to make decisions. Hey, Jesus is willing today to hear from us. And if you're in need of that today, just wait a little bit on the food. I'll stay with you. I've got reserve. I can survive another few minutes if you want to talk. So can you. But if not today, and I trust everyone knows the Lord, but if not, let's gather in fellowship and celebrate 60 years as an organized church. That's a wonderful thing. Let's sing. It may be at morn when the day is awaking autumn. Yeah, oh, I cry too. Since shadow is breaking, Jesus will come in the fullness of glory to receive from the world His own. Oh, Lord Jesus, how long, ere we shout the glad song? Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, amen. As we close, we're going to sing that refrain one more time. But if you can't sing that with truth in your heart today, hallelujah, amen, when He comes back, it's time to deal with Jesus before it's too late. Let's sing it. You come today, let Jesus work in your heart. That's what this church was founded about and what it must continue to do. Oh, Lord Jesus, how long, ere we shout the glad song? Christ returneth, hallelujah,
hallelujah, amen,
hallelujah, amen. Lonnie, you were a product of this church from the early days. And I praise God that God brought you back here several years ago in a vibrant walk with Him. I'm going to ask you to close, but also if you guys would, you and Denny would dismiss the congregation for those that have to leave. If not, please join us through these doors, or if you need exercise, this one. Lonnie, would you dismiss us, please?
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this church. Thanks for Mom, Dad, my aunts, Lord, others, Lord, that are involved in getting this whole work going, Lord. Humble beginnings we have, Lord, just an old four-sided building, Lord, half fallen in, but yet we called it a church, Lord, and we made it work.
Yeah.
It's still here today. It's still working. Thank you, Lord, for your word that was spoken yet here again today. It's one thing my church made sure of, that we had a pastor who preached the truth. Thank you for the Bible, Lord. Thank you for what it means to us. Thanks for what it said here today, Lord, through John. Be with us now, Lord, as we take a bite of food, have a little cake, Lord. Just may we have a good time of fellowship with each other. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Let me shut this off, Autumn.